Memorial Day is often thought of as the unofficial start of summer. Today, a lot of people are barbecuing and spending time with their families. Others may be hitting annual Memorial Day sales. And of course, people are marking the occasion with parades in honor of fallen service members and visits to gravesites and memorials. Ken Davis is with us now for a look at the history of Memorial Day. He's the author of Don't Know Much About History, Everything You Need to Know About American History But Never Learned. Ken, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me on this most important of American holidays.
Yeah, tell us about some of the earliest origins of what we now know as Memorial Day.
Well, it's interesting. In the last few years, there's been quite a dust-up of people claiming credit for the origin of Memorial Day. Waterloo, New York, for some reason, was considered the birthplace of Memorial Day for a long time. In fact, Lyndon Johnson went there in the 1960s to proclaim the first national holiday of Memorial Day, which up until then had been really a statewide holiday. But it's semi-officially begins in 1868 with the declaration by a fellow named John Logan, who was a Civil War general, later a Republican politician, that May 30th would be a day that we would go and decorate the graves of the fallen with fresh flowers. And hence, it was known in its earliest years as Decoration Day. And it was always on May 30th. I should point out right away that when Logan made this order and issued it, he was talking about Union soldiers. He was talking about the men who had fought to preserve the Union and to end slavery. And so from its very inception, this was a somewhat partisan and rather bitter holiday, because it continued over the divide between North and South, between Union and Confederacy, and one of the reasons that some of the Confederate states established their own Decoration Days or Memorial Days. There are references to an event in 1865 in Charleston, South Carolina.
We've
participated. Children went.
Oh, we lost you for a second there, Ken, but you're saying in Charleston in 1865. Start
yes,
over with
some,
that.
A group of emancipated children, African-American children, paraded to a graveyard that had been created to reinter the bodies of Union soldiers who had fallen in Charleston during the long fighting there during the war years. And many people mark that as the beginning of Decoration Day. But it's really the 1868 formal declaration by this general, John Logan, that is the serious and the real reason that it's set at May 30th. Later changed, of course, to a Monday holiday to create a three-day weekend in 1971.
You mentioned that controversy over Memorial Day, originally intended to honor Union soldiers in the Civil War. And this was really emblematic, wasn't it, of a tension at the time. Do we say, okay, bygones will be bygones, all make up, or do we assess blame for the war, or do we go with the Lincoln second inaugural idea of malice toward none, charity toward all? This was a long-running argument.
Well, it was a long-running argument, and obviously you see it continue today in the very, very bitter, divisive fights over the removal of some of the monuments of Confederate soldiers or heroes of the Confederacy, men like Robert E. Lee and P.D. Beauregard in New Orleans most recently. There is, in fact, another dust-up over a monument that's in a park in St. Louis, Missouri. And so this is an ongoing. We've saw it in the flag controversy in South Carolina. And, of course, Alabama recently, I think they're talking about a law in which they're saying none of these monuments can be removed. So this is not a story that's over. And it's part, I think, of the great reckoning that the country is in the midst of when it comes to the history of slavery and its impact on this country, and the fact that it was the reason for the Civil War, and the bitterness it left lasted for decades and still goes on today. But it's interesting when you look back, even when you see a speech by Frederick Douglass, the great escaped enslaved man who made his way to New York and eventual freedom, he gives a Memorial Day speech in 1871, and he underscores this exact argument, that this is a day to celebrate not those who fought to uphold slavery, but those who fought to defeat it. So this was quite an argument back then. What else happened separately is that as time went by, the holiday sort of was forgotten. The Civil War generation died off by the end of the 19th century. It had already become something of a picnic holiday, a summer picnic holiday, even though it was always on May 30th. The big difference is the World War I losses, which we are marking now 100 years since the United States entered what was then known as the Great War, of course only later to be called World War I. And Memorial Day or Decoration Day, whichever it was called, was really revived in the aftermath of the great losses in the trench fighting in Belgium and France, 100,000 Americans in about a year's time.
Talking to Ken Davis, he's a historian, author of Don't Know Much About History and In the Shadow of Liberty, looking at the history of Memorial Day, the sometimes controversial history. And Ken, World War I, is that where we start to see Memorial Day become this national observation instead of more something more concentrated in the North?
Absolutely. And by the way, there was, while it was concentrated in the North in terms of May 30th and Decoration Day or Memorial Day, most of the former Confederate states had their own separate Memorial Days or Decoration Days, some on different holidays, like, you know, some on Jefferson Davis's birthday or things like that. I believe 7 states still mark a separate Confederate Memorial Day. The aftermath of the great bitterness and the great divide. If we think the country is divided today, you just really have to go back and look at the history of this period to see what real division meant in America. But you're absolutely right. With World War I came the recognition that Memorial Day should be a day to recognize not only the Civil War losses, but all those who have given service and given the ultimate sacrifice in service to the country. And that's why this holiday is so special. A lot of people think it's still about veterans or remembering anybody, but this is specifically meant to honor those who gave what Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion in the Gettysburg Address.
I want to go back to the Civil War for a moment and talk about the scope of how many people and families would have been personally affected by a death in the Civil War. Can you give us a sense of that? Because I think it's kind of hard to grasp now.
Well, it is hard to grasp for us, but some perspective is for a long time it was talked about perhaps 600,000, mostly men, died in the 4 years of fighting. Recent estimates based on census data have pushed that up from anywhere from 750 to 800,000 people. That's well over 2% of the American population at the time. So we'd be talking today about a civil war in which there would be close to 7 million deaths. That begins to give some sense of the scope. And, of course, these people came from mostly young men, came from every town and city in the country. And that's why if you're traveling around parts of New England or I'm sure in Wisconsin as well, every small town, no matter how small, often has that statue of the Civil War soldier right in the midst of town. And of course, Wisconsin had a notable role in the Civil War, especially at Gettysburg, as you may know. The Wisconsin Volunteers were very, very prominent in the battle at Gettysburg in 1863.
And so we talked about a resurgence of interest in this holiday, Decoration Day, then Memorial Day, after the First World War. Can you talk about the Second World War? Again, this huge event that affected people, again, in every town, I think, in the United States.
Well, that's right. And World War I was that in many respects as well, because, you know, it was 100,000 deaths, but many men came back maimed and wounded, of course. And again, the population, when you consider that the population at the time, this was an extraordinary number of losses. And that is when, by the way, the Tomb of the Unknowns, as it is officially known, was first built. It was built to house the body of a soldier from the fighting in France and Belgium who had not been identified, who would then represent all those who had never been identified and lost and buried, perhaps, in those dreadful battlefields in France, Flanders Fields and the Argonne, and one after another of these epic battles that cost millions and millions of lives around Europe and the rest of the world. So it was such a terrible conflagration. Again, things start to slip for a little while, and then we get into World War II. Reminding everyone, of course, that when World War I was over, it wasn't called World War I. It was still thought to be the Great War, or perhaps optimistically, the war to end all wars. After World War II and then after Korea, two bodies were added to the Tomb of the Unknowns, one from World War II and one from the Korean War. A fourth body was included from Vietnam. Those remains were later identified and removed, so most likely because of technology and what we do now, there will never be an unidentified body again.
Ken Davis is with us now, historian and author of Don't Know Much About History, among other books, joining us for a look at the origins and history of Memorial Day. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts about Memorial Day? How do you mark the occasion? Is there someone in your family that you're remembering today, or maybe a friend or a fallen comrade? Do you have a question about the history of the holiday? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now about the history of Memorial Day with Ken Davis. He's a historian and the author of Don't Know Much About History. He's with us to talk about the history of Memorial Day. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about Memorial Day? How do you observe the occasion? Who are you remembering today? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers now. We have Chris on the line with us in Toma. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I'm part of the Ho-Chunk Nation out of Black River Falls, and we celebrate Memorial Day at our powwow every year, and we raise over 100 flags for our fallen warriors.
And Chris, to tell us what that's like. That's got to be a powerful moment.
It is a very powerful moment. We honor all the veterans that are in attendance. We raise the flags at 10 o'clock in the morning, bring them down to half staff, raise them again at noon up to full staff, and then bring them down around 3 o'clock. Then we have dancing with all, honoring all the branches of the services, and flag songs, honor songs. And then they have a giveaway for all the veterans that are in attendance.
Chris, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that event today. Ken, a powerful moment for Native American communities who serve, as I understand it, in greater proportions than any other group in the United States.
Absolutely, and I'm reminded, of course, very famously, the Navajo Talkers of World War II, but there were also a similar group in World War I of Native Americans who were on the front lines in France and Belgium, and were used to where the Germans were listening in on the wires, so they used Native American talkers in World War I as well. One of the kind of obscure hidden history facts that I came across recently and just so fascinating. But obviously that service is especially well known for the Navajo code talkers of World War II. So thanks for the call. And this is, you know, a holiday, Rob, I should say that, you know, still we're talking about it here and a lot of people are familiar with it, but there's a great deal of misconception and misunderstanding. A lot of people obviously still see it as, you know, the kickoff summer for the weekend and the summertime and the barbecues and the mattress sales. But this is really the most solemn day on our national calendar, and it's, I think, really important to understand it and to recognize it. And of course, we don't have to go around and be somber, and we all don't have cemeteries to go to, but just to remember and reflect upon the idea of sacrifice and the fact that we are really memorializing those who made the final and the ultimate sacrifice to protect those very fundamental things that we believe in: life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. So I think it's actually okay to say Happy Memorial Day, even though it's not a happy day, because they really did sacrifice so that we could pursue happiness.
Chris, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Paul in Hiles. Paul, hi.
Hi. Yeah, just a little Civil War trivia. About 12% of the male population, about 12% of the population of Wisconsin actually served in the Civil War, over 92,000 men out of a population of roughly a million. So, and about 12% of those were either killed in action or died of disease. Wisconsin seems to, over the years, have had a very large proportion of its men involved in World War One with the 32nd Division, the World War Two again with the 32nd Division, a high number of men in Korea and in Vietnam.
Paul, thanks a lot for sharing some of those Wisconsin facts. And I know, Ken, I'm about, four blocks from Camp Randall, which was a prison for Confederate prisoners during World War II. So, I mean, anything that was a state during the Civil War has a pretty strong connection to that history.
Yeah, and I should point out also, speaking just in general about the Civil War, there's so many real connections to the Civil War to Memorial Day that Arlington itself is created out of property confiscated from the family of Robert E. Lee during the war. Lee's family, the Custises and the Custis Lee, descended from Martha Washington and some of the founding fathers of the Lees of Declaration fame. That land was confiscated during the war, first used as a Union camp, and then turned into a cemetery, and finally becoming the first national cemetery. The Lees, by the way, sued after the war and were paid and compensated for the land. But once again, this connection, and if you've been to Arlington, you know, you wander around there, you come upon the Lee House right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Once again, a reminder of how the nation was divided. Lincoln could stand at the White House and look across the river at Arlington and see Confederate flags flying early in the war. A remarkable time in our history.
Paul, thanks for that call. We're talking to Ken Davis, a historian looking at the history behind Memorial Day. We go next to Gene on the line in Madison. Gene, hi.
Hi. I'm not a veteran myself, but my grandmother was a Gold Star mother. And when my dad passed away, the Legion Hall in Darlington is named, his name is in there. I spoke with my nieces and nephews and asked them if they knew how they were named, and very few know. I wonder if he would tell that, how they're named.
How American Legion posts are named, Ken?
Yes, mm-hmm. I know, but I don't think a lot of people do know.
And are you familiar with that, Ken?
This is something I'll learn today. So.
Okay, for it, Gene.
They are named by the first veteran from that town that died in World War One. This one from World War Two. They used to just have two names. Mm-hmm. Now you may see three or four. The Korean War and then Vietnam.
Makes perfect sense, and
isn't it
I've always wondered, and now I know. I feel so much better. I don't like to go a day without learning something, and there you go. One more connection between Memorial Day and World War One, I should mention, and especially in terms of veterans, is the poppy. You still see veterans groups selling little paper poppies around. I remember in school, we waited for this day when we'd bring our quarter in and buy that poppy. Comes out of World War One, a poem written by a Canadian surgeon named John McCrae, and it begins, "In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses row by row." This very stark image of the poppies growing up between the crosses in a cemetery at the battlefield at Flanders. A young American woman took that image and said poppies would be the perfect thing to sell to raise money for widows and orphans, hence the connection between the poppy and World War One remembrance. And now Memorial Day remembrance.
Gene, thanks for your call and for the information. And we could take one more caller, I think. Sally with us in Milwaukee. Sally, hi.
Yes. Hi, thank you for taking my call. And I want to say that my dad, Milton Horowitz, born in Brooklyn, New York, was born on this day, Memorial Day in 1917, and he would be 100 if he was alive today, but he died in 2009. And John F. Kennedy also was born on this day. He would be 100 also if he was alive today. So to memorialize my dad and John F. Kennedy, who was the great, great hero, we had lucky to have him as long as we did in our country, to celebrate their lives. And the great, my dad was in World War II. He served and he loved our country and he spoke well about our country. He was very proud. So,
Sally, thank you so much. We're just about out of time, but remembering two World War II veterans there, Sally's dad and JFK. Ken, briefly, we're just about out of time, but yeah. a thought to leave us with on Memorial Day to help observe.
Well,
the
I think the caller's point is important, that so many today, so few, I should say, American families have someone in service. It's only about 1%. So it's all the more important for the rest of us who don't have someone in service to remember that people are still fighting and dying for us as we are still at war. And one of the important things to remember on this day, in World War II and the Civil War, lots of people went. Nowadays, very few of us go.
Ken, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me on this very important day.
Ken Davis is a historian, author of Don't Know Much About History, and more recently, In the Shadow of Liberty. He joined us today to talk about the history behind Memorial Day.